prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution, where faith and reason meet. This is the place where you can actually use your brain and love God and all that good stuff, man.
You know how your body needs water to live?
Yes. I don't know how, but yes, I know that.
This show is like water to your brain.
It is.
Not water on the brain.
Right. No.
Water to the brain.
No, this is... Okay, I was talking to one of my coworkers today about yes. the subject of hope.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we dispense hope because we do give the hope that, hey,
yeah.
there is a God and we can use our brains at the same time. And, you know, people without hope lead a very, I mean, without hope, you have nothing to live for.
That's true. And not only do we have hope that's based in reality.
Amen.
Which is even better than false hope.
Right.
Because we care about the truth, whether it's scientific truth, religious truth, Dave's truth, as long as it's based in reality.
Right.
So that's what we care. Today we're talking about how solar storms prove God's existence.
Right.
Well,
it's crazy because I think it was Jeff Zwering from Reasons to Believe did a deal today on Twitter about the planet eating acid cloud and stuff like that. It's not coming.
But actually, we were talking with Reasons to Believe. We might have them in 2 weeks to talk about the comet that's just been landed on. And we're going to do some studies there. So that's kind of cool. We might do that. But for right now, we're going to talk about how the existence of solar storms from the sun impacting and basically trying to destroy the earth gives us proof for God's existence.
Right.
We're also going to have a Bible contradiction and a listener question today.
You know, that proof may be actually in more ways than just one.
Our sun looks remarkably, this is what Jeff Swearing's article says, stable. But as with all stars, the magnetic field exhibits variability.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
and what he goes on to say is that magnetic field, it swells, mm-hmm. it shrinks, it's different sizes in different places.
Right.
Basically, sometimes it comes out and it grabs the Earth by the nose.
The Earth doesn't have a nose, but I get what you're saying.
Well, our Earth's magnetic field has a nose, and it sometimes drips and needs to be wiped off. And the sun comes out like a parent and reaches in and grabs it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a bad analogy?
It's a bad analogy.
That was probably the worst analogy I've ever given.
Yeah. Put the pitchforks away.
Okay. It's but okay. Anyway, the point is...
Quiet.
What you just said. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
But the point
yes,
is
sir, indeed.
That the sun's magnetic fields go out. And actually, if you want to read the part of the article that we got in red there, that first part, because this is kind of beginning the thought process here.
Right. Recent observations show that Earth's magnetic field houses a reservoir of charged particles that blunts the disruptive effects of such reconnective events. The implications of this research support the idea that the Earth was specially designed in order to support advanced technological civilizations.
Okay, so
it's almost like God knew something.
Okay, right. So what we have is the sun's reaching out and it's connecting with the Earth's magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to give a very shallow explanation here.
Okay.
All
typical.
Right. Well, did you say typical?
I'm kidding.
That is correct.
Okay, so basically, you've heard of like the 1859 super flare. Most of us have, where the sun shot out this.
Matter of fact, I read about it just today.
Okay, maybe it was a coronal ejection or something like that. The sun's, you read about it today?
I did.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was in the information you sent me about the show.
Oh, okay. But the sun shot out this massive magnetic field and it messed up the telegraphs back in the 1800s. Maybe you've even gotten shocked on it if you're using a telegraph. People were seeing the northern lights.
Yeah, the Aurora Borealis.
Aurora Borealis all over the place.
Yeah, as far south, actually, as Hawaii.
Yeah.
I see dead people.
No, just the Aurora Borealis, right? But it was all over. And this was because the sun's magnetic field reached out, grabbed the Earth, and it impeded on the Earth. And this is one of the things people are scared about nowadays. Is like, what if this reconnection event happens and the sun just tears the Earth apart?
Right, because we've gotten so technologically advanced.
Yeah.
And even even if you want to just discount the whole ripping the Earth apart thing, I mean, we've got satellites that are way out in orbit and stuff like that.
Well, that's what I mean about ripping the Earth apart.
And, you know, the thing is that we are so reliant now on technology, on those satellites, that everybody freaks out every time there's a major solar event.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, if there was a big enough solar event, we think, man, this universe was poorly designed, because if there's a big enough event, we're going to lose GPS, we're going to lose cell phones, we're going to lose electricity, period.
Heaven forbid.
We're going to be back in the 1500s. Right. With pitchforks and Copernicus and all the...
Oh, yes. Bring back Copernicus. That'd be awesome.
I don't even remember. Was it the 1500s when he was alive? I think it was. But anyway, the point is, this is one thing we're really scared about nowadays. I mean, the sun, we think it's like a proof of bad design. But actually, what happens is the Earth has a magnetic field that is designed so well and so perfectly that... we can actually survive these events, but not only survive the events, we can come out of them really, really well. So this is good news for us. Actually, you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to answer a Bible contradiction and then come right back to this.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction brought to you by the fine folks over there at answering-christianity.com.
Yeah.
Hey, was baby Jesus, was his life threatened in Jerusalem at all? They want to know. Matthew 2:13-23, basically, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.
Okay.
So yes, Joseph fled with him to Egypt and stayed there until Herod died.
Okay.
However, Luke...
So they're saying Joseph took Jesus to Egypt.
Right.
I got a confession. I actually haven't looked this one up yet. I forgot to even look at it.
Oh.
So I didn't even know what it's going to say.
Well, this one...
Okay, Joseph took Jesus to Egypt.
Yeah. Okay, Luke 2:21-40, particularly looking at verses 39 and 40.
Hit me!
When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town in Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, and he is filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Where's Egypt? No, the family fled nowhere, they say. They calmly presented the child at the Jerusalem temple according to the Jewish customs, and then returned to Galilee.
Okay. Well,
no danger at all.
Okay. Well, we use our cracked acronym, and the first C is context. So the first thing I always do when I'm trying to figure out Bible verses, if there's a contradiction or what it really means, is I read the context. So, you know, I pull open Luke 2 and I'm looking through here. The shepherds return, glorifying and praising God. It's talking about what happened there. And then they departed. Joseph and his mother marveled at all those things that were spoken of Jesus, and Simeon blessed Jesus. You go through here and nowhere does it say anything like Jesus did not go to Egypt.
Right.
And you open up Matthew chapter 2 and nowhere does it say anything like immediately they went to Egypt and did not stop in Galilee.
Uh-huh.
And so what's going on here? Matthew says that they were born and eventually they went to Egypt. Luke says he was born and eventually, after he grew and became strong, was filled with wisdom, or about that time, he was moving back to Galilee, or that's where he grew. So he did most of his childhood in Galilee. And so it kind of makes me think there's no evidence in just these two verses that this is a contradiction.
Right.
Because he could have, just like I could say about you, that you were at work today.
I was.
And you were at church today. And you recorded a radio show today. And you were at home today. And all those things are true of you on one day.
Right.
And so this is saying that Jesus, in his childhood, was in Egypt, and he was also in Galilee.
Yeah.
I have no idea why people assume that's a contradiction. I mean, this could have these couple verses could have taken place over the course of several years.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is that it's two different witnesses giving two somewhat similar stories, but hey, maybe there was a little bit of a detail left out of one of them.
Right, which doesn't mean it's not true. It just means he didn't share that particular detail. Jesus did go to Egypt and did come back. If Luke wants to skip over that part, that's his prerogative. That's the answer for Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
So Jeff was there walking on a tightrope without a net, and it was actually quite fun to watch.
Yeah, well, all you have to do if you want to figure out these Bible contradictions is take our cracked acronym and go to the Bible and just work through the acronym.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that this worked with the first C context, because if it didn't work until the D, we would have been on that for a while.
That's funny.
Right? Right on. The context didn't work. Okay, it's got to be revealed. Let's pray about this. What was the author's intention? Okay, well, that didn't help us.
And the show's over.
But yeah, it worked. Okay, let's get back to the magnetic thing here. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to get there, but the whole point of what we're talking about with this magnetic stuff is that there is some really good design here in the universe. Okay, right. The Earth is protected from these magnetic storms. This is something we call the teleological argument, right? All designs imply designer. Mm-hmm. Right? This is a logical argument. Number one, all designs imply designer. Number two, there is great design in the universe. Number three, therefore there must be a great designer of the universe.
Right.
So if there is great design in the universe, and all designs imply a designer, there must be a designer of the universe.
Right. And we're not necessarily saying, hey, this is direct evidence of God, but you take this with all the other evidence that piles up, because we've been piling on for what, the last 3 years?
Yeah.
You begin to see a pattern that God does indeed exist.
Well, yeah. And I'd like to even, I mean, I think you're right. That's a cumulative case.
Yeah.
I think this one even stands on its own, though, because I agree with you. The cumulative case is the powerful part.
Right.
This one, you know, I had a Facebook friend show me an article that their high school student brought home from school and that they were supposed to read. And in the article, it said something like, modern science has now proven that the design argument for God's existence doesn't work anymore because of evolution or something. So you can't prove God exists anymore because science disproved it. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's crazy talk.
It is. It is crazy talk. I just like,
you could just shut your big yap.
Okay, we got to be nicer than that. But the reality is that's not true. I mean, it's not even true about evolution that evolution would prove God doesn't exist. It wouldn't. Right. It doesn't even prove that the design argument doesn't work. But let's forget about biology for a second. You know what science has discovered that evolution plays no role in at all?
What's that?
The rest of the universe.
Right.
Like the moon, the stars, the galaxies.
Yeah, there's no DNA to evolve there.
That's right. The biology has no play outside of the planet Earth or the beings on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And so to say that the design argument doesn't work because of evolution is a ridiculous statement. You look at the Earth and the shape of the moon, the distance of the Earth from the sun, the galactic habitable zone, the right. solar habitable zone, all these other things, and you find out, whoa.
Yeah. All this stuff has been put here by God to give us something that gives us no excuse.
Yeah, very, very clear. Our Earth is in a very specific place. Mm-hmm. And if there weren't many, many factors, life couldn't exist here. Romans 1:20 in the Bible says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men were without an excuse. Just like you were saying.
It's pretty cut and dried.
We don't have an excuse.
Right.
Right? God designed this stuff. We look at the fixed order of the stars. We look at maybe the eye and the optic nerve that couldn't have really evolved. We look at the order of the orbit of the stars and the sun and the moon and the fact that seeds become trees and all of this. And we have to come to this conclusion. Someone invented this. This does not happen by accident.
Yeah, there is great order in the universe, even on this planet. I mean, you can say that that evolution discounts all that, but we can take evolution out of the entire thing. And say, look at everything else.
Yeah, how does this stuff happen?
Right.
Read this quote by Robert Jastrow, who is an astrophysicist with NASA.
He says, now we see how the astronomical evidence supports the biblical view of the origin of the world. The essential elements in the astronomical and biblical accounts of Genesis are the same. Consider the enormousness of the problem. Science has proved that the universe exploded into being at a certain moment. It asked, what caused produced this effect? Who or what put the matter and energy into the universe? And science cannot answer these questions.
Of course, he considers that a problem.
Right. We don't.
Because we know the answer. Right. He's like, we realize the universe had a beginning, and that means something had to put it here, or someone. What?
Right.
And now that's the cosmological argument, but the point is, not only how did it get here, but it looks like when it was put here to host life.
Right.
Whoa.
Very on purpose.
Whoa. Hey, truthrevolution.tv is our website. We're going to be right back. Just a couple minutes of some commercials, some promo things. We'll be right back. We're going to finish talking about how solar storms prove God's existence. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
When we're in heaven, will we know who is in hell? And won't that make heaven miserable for us?
Yep, we probably will know who is in hell.
Luke 16 makes that pretty clear.
Now, we aren't the judge, God is, but in all reality, you probably know some people who may be in hell right now.
Interestingly, we are capable of experiencing happiness right now.
That knowledge, although sad, doesn't completely take away from our ability to delight in good things.
On a small scale, imagine moving to a much nicer, brand new home.
You'll miss the old one, but the greatness of the new home makes your suffering pale in comparison.
That's true. In addition, you'll fully understand why someone is in hell, and how it even fits in with God's justice and goodness.
There will be no question about fairness. We'll understand the choice those people made, and how the love of God fits in with allowing them that choice.
So yes, we may know who is in hell, but no, that will not make the next life miserable for us.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
Hey, man.
Hey, dude.
How is it that solar flares prove that God exists again?
They're big.
They are huge.
No. All right. How do we do that? All right. So we've been talking about the teleological argument and how the universe seems designed specifically to host life.
Yeah.
Well, let's read some of these other quotes from the article, which, by the way, we're going to link to at truthrevolution.tv.
Right. So you want to get over there and check it out.
And you got to get to Revolution Church and check it out. If you haven't, why haven't you been to Revolution Church yet?
Hey, you know what? We've had quite a few new people lately.
We always do.
Everybody just loves it.
So we're here because we want you to feel comfortable in a church. Like, we... not comfortable, like, hey, just be what you are right now, and they're like, just do whatever
right.
you want.
We're not talking about spiritually comfortable.
Right.
We're talking about physically comfortable. You know, it's a good atmosphere, but you're going to get tested. I mean, you're going to get stretched.
Right.
And
just
because
we're going to gain knowledge about God, we're going to be like, wow, maybe I need to change my life now. Right. That type of uncomfortable.
Amen.
But comfortable in, we don't care what you look like, what you wear, where no one's going to judge you when you come in this door.
Boy, howdy.
So, all right. So let's go ahead and read some of these next quotes from this article.
All right. However, recent observations reveal that the planet's magnetic field houses a reservoir of charged particles that rush out towards the reconnection region in such a way that dampens the efficiency of the reconnection.
Okay, now think about this. Okay, so what he's saying is the Earth actually has charged particles in its field that are basically being held and waiting until there's a connection event with the sun's field. And when the sun's field hits Earth, these particles rush towards the sun's field. And you could almost describe this as Earth's force field.
Right.
And when it's smacked by something stronger, it increases its strength.
Right.
Go ahead and let's finish that quote.
All right. Consequently, each reconnection event causes much less damage to Earth's surface than it would without the reservoir.
So, in other words, if we didn't have these specialized charged particles being hosted by Earth itself, we would be in big trouble when the sun's flare hit the Earth.
Right.
When the sun's,
it would be almost like if we had a bunch of water surrounding our continent, which we do.
Yeah.
But it would, every time we saw a tidal wave, or every time there was a tidal wave, we had a bunch of water that rushed out to meet it
and hit it. And yes. Hit it. Yes. Yeah. Excellent analogy.
That would save us from a big tidal wave.
Yeah. But let's read this next part.
The research highlights yet another feature that any putative habitual planet must
habitable, not habitual. This habitable. Planet is a replanet. It planets itself all over the place.
Right on. Anyway, the habitable planet must possess in order to be truly habitable, at least for human-like life and advanced civilization. Specifically, the planet must generate a substantial magnetic field. Otherwise, it cannot host the reservoir of charged particles to dampen reconnection events.
So in other words, when we look out there and we act like, oh, life could be anywhere. There's so many billions of potential planets. All you really need is water and to be close to the sun.
No,
that's not all you need.
And the crazy thing is these solar events, you can't see them because it's a magnetic deal, not with a naked eye, but you do see the effects of it in the aurora borealis.
Yeah, that's true.
And that is proof that interaction is happening. And in the 1800s, that when that big one hit, the aurora borealis was seen as far south as Hawaii.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And that's just huge evidence of what's going on there, which is huge evidence that this planet was actually created to do this.
To hold life. Yeah, we're not just going to find life wherever there's water. Now, scientists are now looking at M-dwarf stars because a lot of them, maybe 75% of them, have planets around them.
Right.
But these planets have to be a lot closer to the sun because the M-dwarf stars are not as big or hot as ours. And so they have to be close. The planets have to be closer to the sun. But effectually now, they get kind of locked in a tidal lock. And their magnetic field would have to be amazingly strong for how close they are to the star. It looks less and less likely like these planets are going to be able to host complicated life.
Right.
And so it's just another ding in the chart that says, man, life is complicated. Right. It does not just occur everywhere. There has to be a lot of things that happen for life to exist on planet Earth. And guess what? It's very specific. Almost like someone had to make it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just happen. All right. You know what I think it's time for? I think it's time to
read a book!
This book, it's called The Reason for God. If you haven't seen this book yet, you need to get it. It's by Timothy Keller. He was born and raised in Pennsylvania, educated at Bucknell University, Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. He's done some amazing work here. This book, Why Does God Allow Suffering? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why isn't Christianity more inclusive?
Wow.
This is like just
those are like hard questions.
A whole bunch of stuff in this book. Topics that we've gone over, but really good. Laid out very, very well in a great book. The Reason for God, Belief in an Age of Skepticism by Timothy Keller. So Dave's going to read that this week and give you a book report next week.
Yeah, well, the thing is one of these days we ought to actually take the camera and show everybody your collection of books because Jeff just doesn't pick up a book and say, hey, this one looks cool. No, he's got a ton of books. And if there's anybody in this room between he and I, the authority of books,
whatever.
This guy right here. So, I don't read much.
All right, let's go ahead and hit a listener question.
All right, listener question today.
All right, dude.
Have you heard of a prophecy called the 3 days of darkness?
Yeah.
Catholic people I know are talking about it, and I'm curious on what you had to say about it.
Have you heard about this?
I have. Just today, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
I was reading the stuff that you sent me.
Again, yeah. Right, thanks. That's helpful.
I know, I'm so helpful.
Right? All right. Yeah, the 3 days of darkness, this has been going around Facebook even. So not just, I've seen this stuff around Facebook as well. What this is, they say that this is going to be the end of the world or it's going to usher in the end of the world. Millions of people, pretty much everybody's going to die except the true followers of Jesus. The Anna Marie Tighe was a seer or a prophetess, whatever you want to call her, a mystic in 1863. And she said this, there shall come over the whole earth an intense darkness lasting 3 days and three nights. Nothing can be seen and the air will be laden with pestilence, which will claim mainly, but not only, the enemies of religion. It will be impossible to use any man-made lighting during this darkness except blessed candles. He who, out of curiosity, opens his window to look out or leaves his home will fall dead on the spot.
Mm.
During these 3 days, people should remain in their homes, pray the rosary, and beg God for mercy. All the enemies of the church, whether known or unknown, will perish over the whole earth during that universal darkness, with the exception of a few whom God will soon convert. The air shall be infected by demons who will appear under all sorts of hideous forms.
Wow, that sounds a lot like the last plague in Egypt. You know?
It kind of does, yeah. They had to stay inside. They had to paint the thing. Yeah, here's the difference between that and the plague of Egypt.
Okay.
Plague of Egypt was prophesied by an actual prophet of God.
Right.
This was prophesied by someone who we have no idea who this person really is.
I want to see credentials.
Yeah, we have no... I have not seen any reason to believe that she is a real prophet. So fortunately, we don't have to worry about that. I mean, I'm not Catholic, but this isn't even endorsed by... Because this is mainly done by traditionalist Catholics.
Okay.
But this isn't even appointed or recommended by the Holy See, which is essentially the official Catholic Church.
Okay.
So not only is this, we're not Catholic, this is in the Catholic realm, but not even most Catholics. This is like a traditionalist Catholic, and even among them, it's only like the mystic part. And also, this is not a biblical thing, right? They're not exegeting Scripture. They're not taking Scripture. They're not using the correct acronym and pulling out the truth from Scripture. They're making a prophecy. Certainly, it's not anti-Scripture. I'm not saying it can't ever happen, but... It's not being exegeted from Scripture. By the way, the rumor that's really going around now is NASA confirmed there's going to be 3 days of darkness.
Oh, no.
And so everyone's pulling out these prophecies going, wow, NASA even confirmed it. But that's not true. Dave's going to read this. This is from a guy who worked for NASA. This was posted in December 2012 because this rumor's been going on for a while, right? This was... The astrobiology senior scientist David Morrison posted on NASA.gov's blog.
Yeah, back in December 10th, 2012. In the past week, my inbox has been deluged by questions about a photon belt and 3 days of darkness, all supposedly confirmed by NASA. This is a really dumb lie, he says. There is no photon belt, and claiming that we will have 3 days of darkness without indication of how... What, will the sun just turn off? It's pretty silly. I don't know any way to answer other than telling the simple truth that nothing will happen. Now,
that's just cool.
We got one of two things here.
What?
Either somebody leaked the information and he's just covering it up and doing damage control.
Oh!
You can't handle the truth!
Or it's a lie!
It's a lie! You're right. This is bunk, man. NASA has not confirmed, nor are they going to confirm, that this is legitimate.
Right. If there is a photon belt, how come we haven't heard about it before?
Why is there no evidence for it?
That's crazy.
So, okay. All right. Let's get back now. I think we answered that listener's question.
Mm-hmm. I got a question.
All right. So we've talked a lot about this magnetic field and what it means and the fact that our universe and our Earth seem to be designed very specifically to hold life.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll talk about this again next week or the week after, but I don't want us to think or believe that this is a new idea trying to suggest that Earth isn't special. Okay, this goes way back to the time of Copernicus.
Mm-hmm.
Even when Copernicus discovered that the Earth revolved around the sun, people were going, well, maybe we aren't special after all. But what we're finding out now is we gain more evidence. We are pretty special. This isn't likely to happen. This doesn't happen all the time. And as a matter of fact, the church isn't opposed to these things. The church loves science. The Archbishop Nicholas Schoenberg has said way back when Copernicus came out with his ideas, Copernicus, that's awesome information!
Right.
Publish that stuff!
Amen.
The church was in favor of publishing scientific information. We still are today. Because most of the time, science is going to lead us to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we want the truth.
We do.
We totally want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Yes, I can. All right. Get out to truthrevolution.tv. You're going to find more truth there. Scientific truth, religious truth, all sorts of truth.
We got truth shots twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
And you can donate. You guys help us make this show happen. We don't, for as number of stations we got off, we really don't have very many donors.
Right.
And the couple that we have make this thing happen. You guys are amazing. So,
amen.
If you want to give, make this show go, you can go. You can do it. and Revolution Church. We're here. There's 222 of us last week at the service, wow. And we'd like to have 223 because we want you.
Come nicely on done.
Thank you. Revo.church or truthrevolution.tv.
Have a nice week.